Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow, it is such a delight to be standing right here. I feel very much at home right here. Very much at home. And excited to see so many young people up on the platform. We had a great time with them at camp recently. And God has been so good to us over the last 2 years. It's 2 weeks away, February the 3rd, from when we handed the responsibility of Watoto Church over to Julius and Vernita. And they are doing a phenomenal job. Leadership is tough. Every leader knows leadership is tough. Most people have no idea. Difficult decisions that they have to make, have a vision from God, hear from God. People are watching. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. And we pray for you, Julius. We pray for you, Vernita. We're proud of you, who you are. And our greatest success, no question, is the team of leaders that we have left behind. And we're very, 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 very proud of that. We're excited about one thing in 25, we hope, and that is that all three of our children and their children, our seven grandchildren, will be with us here in Uganda for Christmas this year. We're really looking forward to that.
Well, good morning, church. Do you know how I know leadership is tough? Take a look at Julius's beard and his hair. It ain't the way it was 2 years ago. I just want to know what's happened to Vernita.
She does what Paul says, I die daily.
I'm a woman on a mission this morning. And Gary always says, you never mess with a woman on a mission. Do you want to know what my mission is? I have come to declare the goodness of God. Yeah. I've come to declare the goodness of God. Because all my life, he has been faithful. He has never let me down once. And the God that I serve is your God, too. You know, it was 42 years ago that God called Gary and I to Uganda. We obeyed that call. And I'll never forget, it was 2 weeks before we actually left Canada to come to Uganda. And Gary was preaching at a church in Toronto. And his 88-year-old grandmother came out. And she wanted to hear her grandson preach. So he preached, and at the end, she comes walking up with her cane. And she said, oh, Gary, when you were preaching, I said to myself, if only I was young, and I could go, and I could do it all over again. She said, but then Jesus stopped me, and he said, Lila, you silly old woman, you can't go and do it all over again. But there is one thing you can do. You can pray. And his grandmother and grandfather committed themselves until the day they died to pray for us and to pray for you. Yep. I am so glad, Julius, that the first month of the year we have set aside for prayer. You know, this book is really a story, stories of answered prayer. We could keep you here all day telling you miraculous stories of answers to prayer. But when I was on my way to church this morning, I was reminded of something. We had just come into this building. It was 1986, and there were a bunch of shops around the front. Does anybody remember when there were shops surrounding this building? And one of the shop owners down at the front was very stubborn. You see, we wanted to buy the building, and we didn't want just the cinema hall. We wanted the whole building. And so this shop owner had a lot of power in the country, and they weren't about to vacate their shop. So we prayed. Do you know what happened? We were having an overnight prayer meeting on a Friday night, and a fire broke out in that shop. Pastor Chris was here, and all of the flames were coming this way. He phoned the fire department, and the fire department said, sorry, we have no water. So we prayed even harder. And I'm not lying. Do you know what happened? A strong wind came up, and the wind started blowing all of the flames the other way. This building could have gone up in flames, but as a result of prayer, Jesus saved this building, and look what he's done in this building today. You know, I realize that the day we're living in today is very different than the day that Gary and I made a commitment to obey Jesus. You know, I'm totally convinced that it is very difficult to be obedient when we are bullied by a culture that ignores God. And that's what's happening all around the world. We're being bullied by people who refuse to bow their knee to Jesus. And do you know what happens? It can be so easy to become seduced by the pleasures of this world that we abandon God and His call. But I've come not just to declare the goodness of God, but I've come to inspire you this morning that when you are bold, when you are strong, when you are courageous, God will be right beside you, behind you, in front of you. He will never leave you, and you will live. You will live to be 70 like me, to see the goodness of God. So that's really what this book is all about. It's about inspiring you to take that step. Won't you do it? Won't you do it this morning? I love you.
Thank you, beautiful. She's the most beautiful judge in the whole world. And I think the best part of this book is the picture of her on the front. I think that's the best part. Now, Father, I pray that you would just take these simple words and that you would speak to us, that you would fashion and mold us and make us into what you have called us to be, Jesus, in our streets. Yes. We thank you for that. Lord, anoint your servant in Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There is one scripture reference that has really been burning in my heart the last couple of years, and I do get the privilege to travel a little bit and preach a couple places. Last Sunday, I preached it at Harvest Praise Harvest Church Worship House, and I used this scripture. Next week, we're going to be in Burundi. We have a church there that our missionary friends planted, and I'll probably use this scripture again because it's just been burning in my heart. It's Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's verse 15. God raised Jesus from the message. God raised Jesus from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. And he has the final word on everything. Wow. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Here it is. The church is Christ's body through whom he speaks and he acts. Wow. The most important personality that exists is Jesus. At the center of the universe, in charge. And the most important institution on the planet, at the center of all this, Christ, the greatest personality, rules the greatest institution, the church. It is true what Marilyn said, that in a secular society, we have been marginalized and sidelined and ridiculed as irrelevant. But in a world that is turning away from God, the world is becoming literally ungovernable. And there is more chaos and confusion and war around the world. The church is the most relevant institution on the planet because we have Jesus and we have the answers. Yes. Yes. Our theme this year is bold. Be bold vision. Strong convictions. Courageous action. That is Jesus. That is, I hope, my life. I hope, and I believe it is, our church, this church, and it needs to be the church around the world. We refuse to be considered irrelevant and sidelined because Jesus, at the center of all of this, Christ, rules the church. If Jesus had a vision, perhaps it would be this. And it's one of my other favorite verses. It's when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, a town in northern Israel that was really a Roman city, a little more prosperous, a little more advanced. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some of the prophets." They said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then he said this, "On this rock, on this truth that I am the Christ." He said, "On this rock," in the five words, "I will build my church." Jesus said a lot of things, but that may have been a vision statement. If there is anything that is important to Jesus, it is the church. He paid for it with his blood. The church is the most expensive commodity on the planet, paid for by the blood of the Son of God. And he loves the church. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So he said, "I will build my church." Do you know who's building the church? Jesus is building the church. I know that when Jesus says, "Gary, go to Kampala and plant an English-speaking church downtown in the heart of the capital city," he actually means, "I'm going to build it, but I'm going to use you." And I can go with confidence where he opens the doors because he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We are to be bold and strong and courageous because I am with you. Jesus said, "I." "Will build my church." I will. It's going to happen. There is nothing that is going to stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can burn Christians using the Bibles, thinking they're getting rid of both the Bibles and the Christians, but they just spring up again. And the more you persecute the church, the stronger she gets. The more you ridicule the church, the stronger she gets. Why? Because there is a God in heaven who cares about the church. And he said, "I will." It is going to happen. If Jesus said it, you can believe it. You can go to the bank. It's going to happen. Nothing can stop the church. And I declare to you that presidents and kings and governments and economic systems and educational systems will come, but they will also go, and there will be one thing that remains: Jesus and the church, the greatest influence on the planet ever. It's going to happen. I don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. And we can confidently get behind what Jesus is doing because it's going to happen. It's the safest investment you will ever make. He said, "I will build my church." Building takes a long time. It's hard work. It costs money. You don't build overnight. You better have some plans. You better have some strategy. You better think about it. You don't make a commitment to build something and it happens overnight. It doesn't take 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 months. It probably takes two generations or more. We've talked about cathedral vision, the vision that God has for the church. Like the old cathedrals in England that took 200 years to build, and the people who laid the foundation never saw it finished. It took 200 years, but it rose up to be the highest building and the best building in its community. And that's where the church should be, standing at the pinnacle of society, being built by God's people over a long period. No matter what happens, Jesus is there building through us. Building through us. It takes work. It's not just lights, smoke, and thunder. It's hard work. Jesus said, I will build my church. Watoto Church never belonged to Gary Skinner. Doesn't belong to Julius Wartlonio. The church belongs to Jesus. He paid for it with his blood. He bought us. We are his. We are his own. He said, I will build my church. It carries his name. We can never treat the church except for anything except Jesus' property. I will stand before God one day and give an account of what I did with his church. So I can't steal the money. I can't swagger through this place like I'm the kingpin. Because I'm just chosen by him. What a privilege. What an honor. Because it's his, not mine. There's a few pastors in this town that need to learn it. I will build my church. He didn't say he was going to build a hospital or a clinic or a school or a rescue center for orphans or an entertainment center. Although you come to church, you'll be entertained, and we will rescue orphans and we will look after hospitals and clinics and schools and all the rest. But what Jesus said he would build, well, he would build his church. Church is ecclesia in the Greek, out, called. He calls people out of the darkness into the light, out of the world into the kingdom of God, out of despair into hope, out of being lost to being found. He calls us out. I will build my called out ones. Yes. We no longer belong to the world. And the world has no place in us. Those are Jesus' words. That's his bold vision. I will build my church. The church is not buildings. We don't build the church when we build buildings. We build the church because the church is people. We build people. My goal as a pastor is to model and to motivate and to mentor and to multiply my life in you. As I have followed Christ, so follow me. What you see in me, teach to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Call them out and transform them and infuse in them what has been infused into you and what's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can never act in ways that are just human. We have to act in ways that are Christ-like, godly. And Jesus builds his church by building people. People. You. You, the church. I said the church is the most important institution on the planet. You are the most important group of people that exist in this community, God's people. Filled with God's Holy Spirit, empowered by God's holy word to walk with authority and dignity and holiness and righteousness, carrying the name of Jesus with pride because We are the hope. If Jesus is the hope, the church is Christ's body. The church is the hope. And Jesus said, I'm going away, but I will send the Holy Spirit and He will empower you. And whatever I did, you will do also, and even more. Because Jesus calls us, the church, to be Christ in our community. We don't go to church. We are the church. Your success as a Christian is not how many times you go to church, but how much you live like Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. The gates of hell are the defenses of hell. We're always scared of the devil coming after us. It ought to be the devil who is scared of us coming after him. The gates, the defenses of hell, will not be able to stop the advance of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what He sent us out to do? Very simple. Change the world. We're to go into all the nations and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey every word that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. We exist in this building as the representative of Christ to transform Kampala.
Come on. Yep.
You want bold vision? There it is.
Come on.
It's too big, but it's not too big for Him. So we are to be Christ. The church is to be Christ. I've lived in Uganda a long time. And I'm sure when Jesus went through His community, He was broken. He saw the multitudes of sheep without a shepherd. And He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have longed to have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chickens to her breast, but you would not. And then He prophesied the doom that would come upon Jerusalem because of her rejection of the Messiah. And we saw the destruction of the temple and all of the rest. And Jesus went through this and He healed the sick and He raised the dead and He preached the word of God. And He's gone now and He's planted us in our community, and we are also to sit and we are to look over our city and we're to cry, oh, Kampala, Kampala, how often I would have gathered you to myself as a mother hen gathers her chickens to her breast. And will Kampala gather? Yes, she is. You drive through the streets and you see the little children playing in the gutters with the witchcraft things tied around them. Little naked boys and girls in the garbage. Garbage everywhere. Boda bodas acting with total disregard to anything lawful. And we participate. We get on. If there ever is a hope for Uganda or for the world, it is that we live like Christ.
Yeah.
I got thinking about this. We're living in a day when the church is being confronted with a new revolution. Because there was a time when the church was boring and God raised up churches, some famous churches, to make church exciting again. And so our music changed. And thank God we got rid of the suits and ties and started to dress cool. And then we put on nice haircuts and styles. And then the people began to gather and the young people began to gather and they came in their droves. And then we got a little cocky and a little proud and a little arrogant. And suddenly the pastors became prominent and they became celebrities. And we looked to the musicians to be the celebrities. And there was this whole attitude of, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that celebrity mentality got a hold of pastors and you can't even talk to them. And they get in their cars, wee-oop, 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 get out of my way. And I got thinking about it. We're to be like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 was the verse that came to my mind and my heart. And this is a message for every leader. This is a message for every one of us as Christians. This is a message for the church that has been bombarded and bombarded and bombarded with this, you're great, you're okay, and this, that, and the other thing about you're going to get the best, blah, blah, blah. You are this, you are the other, and grace, 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 and do whatever you want. And the church has become cold and indifferent and only looks for the miracles. But Ephesians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was the biggest, the best, the highest, the most noble name that existed was Jesus. He was one with the Father. He sat in the throne room of heaven. He was the creator of everything. Because he was the creator of everything, he owned everything. He had the final word on everything. He did not think that that equality was something to be held onto, but he made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. We do everything to build our reputation. The last thing a Ugandan wants is to be a servant. Young people, we have been tricked into thinking we need to get TikTok and Snapchat and whatever it is. How many likes do I have? And we filter the pictures so that we look like what we really aren't to build our reputation. We all worry about what other people think about us. And I know it comes out of insecurity and we all carry that insecurity, but our security is found in one place, Jesus. He is our identity. He made himself of no reputation. He was born in a trough. They put him in a trough that feeds cattle for his bed. He came into a simple carpenter's home. He walked the dusty streets of Israel. And after 30 years, when the Holy Spirit came, he revolutionized the world. He was nobody. Nobody. No, he wasn't. He was God. But he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. Wow. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. I know I've preached about it and I'm not going to do it again. You know, the kingdom of God is upside down. You want to be great? Be a servant. You want to go up? Go down. You want to live? Die. You want to get? Give. It's not the way the world thinks, but God's ways are not our ways, but they work. took upon himself the form of a servant. Our dream when we were giving leadership was that while the church is the greatest institution on the planet, there are other institutions. There's the politics and there's the science and there's the medicine and there's the arts and there's the entertainment and there's education and there's the judicial system and all of the rest. And they're so important. But you know what makes them successful is not just important people sitting there, but Christians sitting there. Bringing the culture of Christ into the community through their jobs and their careers. And while God may have called me to serve as a pastor, He may call you to serve as a politician. Young people, this is the burning desire of my heart, that we would build God's church by raising up the next generation of young leaders who will say, "Oh God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve my community?" Not what job can I get that will give me the most money, the most prestige. Oh, we love that reputation. In Uganda, we talk about ourselves, Dr. So-and-so, Engineer so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Apostle, Prophet. Stick our pictures up everywhere. It's not the way Jesus does it. He humbled himself, he made himself obedient. Rather, he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and he came in the likeness of man. And then it says, the next verse, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We need a good dose of genuine humility in our land. As I said, everybody thinks they're important. Puts the blue lights on their car, wee, 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 all over town. Get out of the way. Who do you think I am? I'm more important than you. My time is more important than you. And that spirit grips the nation. And we've lost our servanthood. And he not only humbled himself, but he became obedient. We don't like obedience. Obedient to what? Death. I was making a joke about, you know, Vernita not going great because she dies daily. But actually, we do need to die daily. Yes. Not this kind of die. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Gary Skinner no longer needs to be seen. It must be Christ that is seen in me. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." We need to take up our cross. We don't want a cross. We don't want to carry a cross, because when we carry a cross, we know we're going to be ridiculed. Even death on a cross. I just read a book. The first chapter was about the crucifixion and the Roman crucifixion. Tom Holland, I forget the book, something. You know, when they nailed you to that cross, they didn't leave you with your underpants on. It was the most humiliating thing you could ever face. And people would walk by and swag their finger at you. That was where Jesus hung. The only time he was in the state house was when he was there to give a message to the person who was in state house. You think you're in charge? God's in charge. You can't touch me. I'm going to close. The rest of the world is turning away from Jesus, away from Christ. Churches are small, churches are empty. The church has very little place in the public square. And I don't have to be a prophet to tell you, trouble is ahead for the West. But Africa, in our poverty, in our disease, in our hopelessness, in our despair, we have turned in our multitudes towards Christ. And churches are big. Not all of them, but lots of them. Big. Like this church, full of young people. There is a hunger and there is a desire in the next generation of African young people for something better. And I want to tell you that the better thing that is ahead of you is not a green card to America. We don't need more young people to go and find some prophet who will pray for them so they can get a green card. We don't need you to go to America. We need you to stay right here and give your heart and soul and life and strength to building what God has called you to be. I know this is not a popular message, but I'm finished. I don't care what you think of me. I'm done. I love you. I love Uganda. Jesus loves Uganda. Jesus loves you. It's time for Africa to rise up and say, the King of Africa is Jesus. It's time for young Africans to go to university and graduate with a degree and get a job and allow God to take your life and lead you into those spheres of influence in this nation so that we can rebuild this nation. It is not impossible for God to take what is considered by others the weak, despised, insignificant nobodies. Africa, a big black hole that sucks in billions of dollars and spits out more problems. God can turn it around and he can take us and he can rise us up to be the light of our world if we will start living like Jesus lived and stop just going to church to get another miracle. Go to church to say, how can I be more like you, Jesus? So young people, be bold, be strong, and be of good courage. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey!